Tom Ross Parry.
No, Matthew Stevens Boyle.
It's Easter Sunday, potentially, you're listening to this.
It isn't today, Matthew.
No, it isn't. It's recording this on a Saturday. Stop ruining the illusion. So I hope you're there. I hope you've got a cup of tea in your hand. I hope you've got some Easter eggs in your face and you're ready to play some games. Because Lord knows, we're ready to talk about them.
That's multitasking.
It is. It's Tom Matt Attack.
Got no eggs here.
Yeah, I know.
We should give each other eggs. Why haven't we done that?
I don't know. Well, we should maybe go to the supermarket after this and see what the poor excuses for eggs they got left.
It's pouring down with rain. So.
It is. Literally, on you saying, let's give each other eggs, the heavens just opened outside our window.
Just you saying, let's go to the store and get some.
Nah, not happening.
But then, if it's anything like the rest of the day, it's going to be sunny again in a minute.
Yeah, bit of a weird day in Denmark. As we look out of the window of the Tom and Matt shack that is a fictional place. It's all right. It's been sunny and overcast
and then
raining.
We've been out here all day, haven't we?
Flicking back and forth, yeah.
We've been off to Horsens again.
Yes, surprise, surprise. Perhaps surprising, actually. I didn't buy anything.
Nothing?
No. Well, I bought some bits in an Asian cuisine shop, i.e. some curry paste.
You bought some curry paste.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like nothing video gamey, which is, I think, a first. I didn't buy... I picked up the crappy Philips video pack Pac-Man ripoff called Munchkin. I was like, oh, I'll probably try this. And I was like, I don't need to pay a fiver for this. So I put it back.
No, you're going to buy a few things, actually. Way of the Samurai 3.
Way of the Samurai 3 twice in two separate stores and thought, no,
you
I'm
still
not paying a tenner for this game and put it back. Well, you see, as regular listeners of the podcast will know, I'm off to Japan in a few weeks. And my thought process at the moment is, should I buy this or should I get
a
physical copy of Yakuza 5 I can never play in Japan?
Yeah, but... Both options aren't that great, are they?
No, they're not. But one will look nice on my shelf.
I mean, I was the opposite today. I was like, what the heck? Because I'm usually quite careful about how much I spend on a game.
Yes.
For example, there's a couple of games I bought today. I was actually thinking this is a little overpriced.
Yes.
And it pangs me with guilt.
Well, you know, I look at that pile of games, Tom Parry, that the podcast listener cannot see.
Mm.
And I see two Nintendo Joy-Cons there for the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, the price?
Yes.
Well, no, I don't know. Really, that much? Because I bought wrestling...
This is true. You did buy other paraphernalia
DVDs.
And you did buy a load of DVDs, so maybe not. Maybe just one Joy-Con's worth of games.
Yeah. I got quite a few things today.
You did, yeah.
Do you want to know what I bought?
God, no, don't go through your films, please. You bought Rogue One. Let's leave it at that.
That's the only one anyone will care about.
Yeah.
I heard this is very good though. Sing Street, it's 80s themed. It's about school concert, and they all listen to those great bands of the 80s, like The Cure and Depeche Mode and such. And
okay.
They form a band, I think.
Interesting. They all look like The Cure on the back of the cover, and one of them looks like what's her face, Sinead O'Connor in the Nothing Compares to You video.
Was that a boy?
I don't know.
I think that's the boy.
Never mind. Doesn't matter. Okay. Let's not talk about your films, Tom. What games did you buy?
What games? So, yeah, I say overpriced because you shouldn't pay that much for PS2 games, especially not ones of this ilk.
Well, this is why I didn't actually buy some. I had Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon in my head, which was a bargain I should have probably got in my hands and my head that I'd already purchased it.
Yeah.
I had that. I had Echo the Dolphin. I had... At one point, some Way of the Samurai?
Code of the Samurai was the other one.
I was looking for Way of the Samurai. Yeah. And I had Way of the Samurai 3 in my hand. And I was like, I don't need these. I don't know about these games. I'm not that sure. They're just going to sit on a shelf and I'll force you to play them.
Very wise of you. The games I picked up, though, I wasn't taking a chance on mostly. These are games that I'd read about or seen videos about and... They're actually games I wanted to play.
Yeah.
The first of those being Speed Kings for the PS2. This was also available on GameCube. That's where I first heard about the game. It's developed by Climax, who actually developed some of the MotoGP games.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
I have it that this is good.
Published by Acclaim.
Yeah.
Always a mark of quality on any game. Not going to... Yeah, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt because of the studio's heritage, but yeah. Looking at the back of that, I'm not sold, Tom. What have you got next for me?
I'm going to just list the games I wanted to get. Downhill Domination, which is a BMX game.
Oh, okay.
Racing this time, as opposed to, but you can do tricks. I guess it's kind of like SSX for bikes.
Okay.
I'll give that to you to have a look at.
I'm going
to
look at
the back. What does Matt Boyle think of that?
There's a lady in actual BMX body armor, and she has a tramp tattoo that says Fearless.
Yeah. Are you sold?
Fearless.
I think, actually, I heard about this game.
Four-player, multiplayer on a PS2.
On an episode of GameSack.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. I think your mate recommended it. What's his name? The one who replied
Dave.
To one of your videos. Yes, Dave.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Interesting. Bike slam, punch and kick to dominate the race.
There you
okay.
go. So it's like Road Rash on BMXs.
Okay, that sounds all right.
That sounds
cool. I'm sold on that. What else you got?
Freaky Flies was another game I was
Freaky.
After that I decided to get today. And that is, to me, it looks like Diddy Kong Racing with the aeroplanes.
Okay.
Also a little bit like, don't know why I had it in my mind that it was like Crimson Skies a little bit.
Because
you don't race in that. But this is a... flight-based racing game.
Made by Midway. It could be all right.
Midway, yeah.
Fording
well,
alluring
published
characters.
By Midway. Is it developed? Yeah.
It looks like.
Yeah, I mean, it looks fun, colourful.
The art style reminds me of something, and I can't think of what. But, yeah, it looks pretty interesting. Okay.
So then, far, so good, then.
Yes.
And then the other three. Well, I can tell you one of the other three is definitely a good game because we've played it before. And that's Dead Eye Gym.
Yes.
In a FIFA case.
Really? Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Dead Eye Gym is a game published by Phoenix, which would imply that it wasn't so good.
Potentially, yeah. They're a bit hit or miss.
The studio that actually developed this game...
Yeah.
Were quite noteworthy, I think, if I remember correctly.
Were they like an Italian studio?
Yes.
And they made a fighting game?
They made a fighting game for the Amiga, which I went out and bought, actually.
Was it any good?
Don't know, because I haven't tried
it. Oh, dear.
But it had a great cover and a poster as well. But Dead Eye Gym is, how would you describe it? Sort of like Wild Guns, I suppose, to an extent. It's a Wild West-based shooter, which takes... over-the-shoulder perspective, but fixed.
Yes.
So enemies will pop out and you shoot them. It's very well done. A great arcade-style game. And that if you do see this around, don't be put off by the fact it's a Phoenix game, which is actually covered up here.
Yeah, that's
by
true.
By the FIFA sticker, I think.
Yes,
oops.
It is. The FIFA sticker is hiding the
it's
truth.
Hiding the... I wonder if that was intentional.
Hang on.
It's got a little stamp on the manual.
Yeah, it's got a little stamp on the case as well.
To say it used to belong to... Alex R. Anderson.
Interesting. Alex R. Anderson was apparently very particular about his games.
And he stamped all his games, even on the inside cover.
Wow, weird.
But
okay.
He wasn't so particular that he didn't want to give this game
a FIFA
case.
Maybe he was just upgrading his good cases. Who
probably.
Knows?
So, Dead Eye Gym.
Yeah, not a bad game. As you say, don't be put off by the fact it's a Phoenix game. It's one of the good ones on the PS2. Mm-hmm.
Eve of Extinction, or E-O-E. Backwards E.
Yes. Nice logo. Oh, right. And you were a bit...
I wasn't sure about this.
You weren't, right.
I thought it was developed by Ukes, who were responsible for all the wrestling games.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Would you like to hear the game's radar?
It's probably bad, isn't
review.
It?
This Matrix-style beat-em-up from SmackDown dev Ukes has glowing lightsaber weapons and fun button-mashy combat.
Okay.
Criminally dumb AI and a bland protagonist keep EOE from really standing out or developing into a franchise. Though there is some potential in the underlying gameplay and settings. Averages are around 6, 7 out of 10.
Oh, cool. Well, that's better than...
Back when people actually used to give reviews that were less than a 7 for a game.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, well...
Fusion of human cell with rare metal has unleashed a devastating weapon, the Legacy, capable of destroying the world. This weapon has brought mankind to the eve of extinction. That's where the name comes in. Use your fists or your weapons against dozens of enemies and level bosses in free-roaming 3D environments. There's a puzzle system, an innovative puzzle system.
I'm going to be honest, that cover really doesn't sell me on that game.
That is a terrible cover. That is a really terrible, bland protagonist. Actually, looks a lot like Hwang from Tekken 3.
Yeah.
With his goggles and...
Maybe a bit of Leon Kennedy in the head.
Yeah. Okay, he's got a red lightsaber, which would imply that he's a dark side user.
Oh, dark side.
Right, and lastly, I'm a bit of a sucker for golf games. And there's a game called Swing Away Golf.
Right. It's made by EA.
Well, it's published by EA. Okay. It doesn't say it's developed by EA. In fact, the packaging seems quite keen to point out it's not developed by EA.
Distributed by Electronic Arts, you are correct. It does not say, hey, we made this game ourselves. Judging from the character models, I would assume that this is a Japanese developer.
Hmm. It's an older PS2 game. It's on a blue disc with
TNE Soft.
TNE?
Yeah.
TNE Soft. So, curious about this one. I doubt it's going to be as good as everybody's golf. For the
probably not.
PS2.
Probably better than, what you call it though, Outlaw Golf.
Oh, I don't know. Outlaw Golf's not bad, actually. I do have that. It's not a bad game.
Oh, Tom. Oh, wow. Okay. I knew I recognised that game. TNE Soft are the developers of
Project
Chick
Minerva.
Yayo Gun Zaz.
Sorry, I don't know what that is.
That is a very rare, very sought after, and very well respected Game Boy game.
Oh.
They've done a variety of things. They did Golf and Red Alarm on the Virtual Boy, if you remember that game that Nini gave you eye cancer.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, that one. They developed a lot of MSX titles. They've generally done golf games. They did a game called True Golf Classics for the 3DO, as well as Advanced Dungeons and Dragons Slayer, which is apparently a Japanese release for the 3DO. Interesting. Don't know if the studio is still around. Oh, in May 2002, the corporation changed the name to D Wonderland Incorporated, but it doesn't say anything of what they've done.
Okay, so that was the PS2 games.
Might not be half bad.
I don't think so.
Zaz is a fucking fantastic top-down shooter for the Game Boy. Hmm. So, potentially, it could be okay.
From the same place, Micro Machines V4.
Yep. I didn't know there was a V4.
Matt Boyle found this for me.
I did.
I like Micro Machines. I don't have this game on the PSP.
Why not get some?
Why not get that? It's reasonably priced as well. And lastly, another spot by Matt Boyle. He's very eagle-eyed today.
Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha. Not buying anything for myself, though.
No. I feel like I'm doing an episode of Paris Pickups right
here. Yeah, it seems that way.
This is Yakuza 4, which was a game I was only bidding on this last week, and I think it had gone to about £20.
Well,
and
I'd
outbid.
I'd seen you try and buy it on eBay. You'd show me an auction that was around £15.
Yeah.
And then I saw this on the thing. I was like, oh, here you go.
99 krona.
Yeah.
Very reasonable.
They actually had all of the Yakuza games, well, 3, yeah. 4, and Dead Souls.
All the ones
so
on
I
the
PS4. Someone,
3.
Yeah, someone had cashed in their Yakuza collection and... You reap
they probably,
the spoils.
Maybe they'd cash them all in to get Yakuza 0.
Perhaps.
Maybe they had.
Who knows? We will never know. Let's just assume they did.
They did. And I hope they're enjoying that.
Too. I hope they are too.
But that's it. Yeah. It was a fun time. We came back to the Tom Matt Attack Shack and played a bit of 1-2 Switch.
We did. Or as it should be known, 1-2 Switch It Off, because that's enough playing in that game. Yeah, so I was lent this game by a colleague, as we briefly touched upon last week.
We decided to play Mario and Sonic at the Olympics instead.
Yeah, who would have thought that would have been a better choice?
We had more fun playing that, I think.
Yeah, I actually quite enjoyed that rugby game, so much so that when we were walking around today, I was actually checking the price. I got to be honest with you, Tom, I'm really not sold on 1-2 Switch.
Neither am I, and I'm not sold on HD Rumble, which surprises me immensely, because I was quite excited about that. The ball game. Balls in the controller.
Yeah.
Guess how many? I couldn't work it out.
Me neither.
I didn't think the HD Rumble was good enough for me to properly guess how many balls are in there.
I didn't necessarily think the rumble was the issue. I thought the same way I did with Breath of the Wild, is that those Joy-Cons, the gyrometer or whatever's in them that is allowing you to tilt something, isn't very well calibrated.
Mm.
And so the whole thing of this 1-2 Switch game is called like ball count, which I giggled at every time she went, ball count, because I'm a child. Was essentially you held the Joy-Con in your hand, you would tilt it from side to side, and you would get the experience that there were balls in the Joy-Con and that they were hitting the sides. And so you had to figure out, okay, when I tilt it this way, I can feel the clacking of vibration of two balls.
Clacking of two balls.
Is that is the podcast title. Is that, is there two? Is there three? Is there more?
I thought there were seven when there was only two at one point.
Yeah, I thought there were two. And
I
you
was
kind
counting,
of...
actually, how many times I felt like they were falling down into the bottom of the controller.
Yeah.
You know, I tilted and, and I counted. Maybe that's because we were playing another game where you have to count the amount of times the controller vibrates.
Yes, which was Sneaky Dice,
well,
which
Sneaky
is probably
Dice
the best game on the collection.
The Quick Draw was also enjoyable.
I like the boxing game as well. The boxing game is all right.
The boxing game, I felt like I was breaking a bit of a sweat.
Yes.
The beach... flag.
There was a
game, like
flag run.
Yeah, I did not like that.
You had to pretend you were running on the spot, and generally that meant waving your arms up and down very fast.
Milking was underwhelming.
Milking
but fine.
Was
in... quite strangely satisfying.
I thought it was a bit of a boring game.
Yeah.
There was a sandwich eating one, which you had to hold the right Joy-Con away from your mouth and then flap
you
your mouth
up and
down.
Got to keep it at the right distance, because if you move it while you're biting, then
There was one where you had to shake up a bottle. That one was pretty underwhelming.
Yeah, but I imagine that's fun with four players. Because we're playing it between two. You shake it up a little, then pass it to your friend.
Yeah, but I...
And then they have to shake it and not have it pop on them.
The rumble in the controller
was... It's sunny again, by the way.
Yeah, it's brightened up. The rumble in the controller, though, for me, wasn't half as intuitive as I was expecting. Again, the HD rumble was underwhelming because when I was shaking that bottle... It didn't feel very different from the first shake than when I accidentally popped the bottle at the end.
Would you feel the pressure?
I guess so. I mean, if you shake up a bottle, you do before it explodes because it kind of vibrates a little bit. But the whole point of that game is there's no visual cues. You're trying to shake up this bottle. Mm. It should give you some indication in how much it's rumbling as to what it is.
The treasure chest one I like.
The treasure chest one was fun.
The treasure chest, you have a chain wrapped around the treasure chest.
Yeah.
And you have to untangle the chain. They could have easily done that with a controller wire as well.
They could have, yeah.
That would have been quite apt. But considering that controllers don't have wires anymore mostly, maybe that's why they decided not to do
I mean, you generally wrap your controller, the wire over the same way as well.
You
whereas
do,
this one,
you're
turning it at all angles. There was a safe cracker one where you had to.
I found that very difficult.
Hold the controller.
Well.
I found that one pretty easy.
But there
but
was
then...
a very subtle change in when you had to hold
very,
it in
very
that position,
subtle.
And I could not get that subtlety. I couldn't understand where it was. I need to hold the.
I was okay with it.
Also, you have to twist your wrist quite a way around.
You did have to twist your wrist quite a way around. The one that was like you turning your wrist and putting the controller down, I couldn't do. You were very good at that one.
Yeah, that was fine. I enjoyed that.
The ping pong was pretty underwhelming.
It's weird, isn't it, ping pong? Because you don't see a net, you don't see anything. You just have to. You do go off instinct, and it kind of works most of the time. Then there's certain times when you actually score that you wonder how you score. The rallies made sense.
Yeah.
But then I couldn't realize how I was
doing
scoring
a power
or how
serve.
You were.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like I hit the net, and I was just like,
"Where's the net?
Where's the net? Like, why is that?" I don't know. It underwhelmed me incredibly. We also played Zen, which was like doing yoga poses and holding the remote flat.
I realise I'm not as well balanced as I thought I was.
Nope. Sad realisation. And I think that's about it, right?
There are a lot more games. One thing can be said about this game, it's got a lot of mini games on it.
I think somewhere around 30.
Hmm.
Now, as
but
this game is about 30 quid,
really
were you
good?
Willing to pay like £1 for each one of those games? Because let's be honest, I turned it off and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm happy I didn't buy that game because I will probably never play it again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of cool to show people. And then they have a little bit of a laugh with it. And then it's not something I think you're going to come back to a lot. Because probably once someone's had a go, they're not going to be like, oh, I want to play 1-2 Switch again. I had so much fun last time.
And that's the thing. I mean, with...
I wouldn't be like that.
With Wii Sports and even Nintendo Land. Like Nintendo Land, some games in there were very fun.
Well, there was a level of skill
yeah.
in them. is there skill in this? I suppose there is, but it's not the same kind of skill, is it?
This just feels
depth, and the presentation also is very underwhelming. I don't know if I like this direction with having real people in there. It's very simple. What's great about it, actually, is how simple it is to understand.
Yeah,
it's very accessible, which is really cool. Menus are very bright and bold. They don't look like a video game, does it?
No.
It reminds me very much, we go back to the CDI, something like that, and how games are presented then.
It's kind of a bit Jackbox in a few ways.
Yeah, actually, that's a good comparison to make, actually. So I can see a lot of people being able to get into this very quickly, and that's the idea. But the actual games themselves, I don't think they hold up particularly well. And none of them are amazing.
None that I really want to pay for either. I mean, like things like the telephone game where you put the controller down and it goes like, ring, and then you got to pick it up, and then you yell something. I think it's just literally whoever picks it up first is the winner.
I do feel a lot of these you could have done with a Wii remote.
I think a lot of these were just tech demos that they cobbled together into a minigame collection, is how I feel about it.
But don't you think a lot of these could be on the Wii?
Yeah, probably. I mean
there are certain ones like the ball count, which obviously takes advantage of new technology, but a lot of them, Motion Plus would have, I think, replicated these pretty well. Or maybe not. Maybe this is how good new motion sensor is in this.
Perhaps. I don't know.
I don't know. It's just not something that I would want to pick up for the Switch. If someone gave it me free, I'd take it. If it was a fiver, I'd take it. Do you know what I mean?
I don't even know if I'd pay a fiver.
I think
I'd pay
a fiver for it.
A tenner
at the most.
Undoubtedly, this is going to be one of the first games you see in a car boot sale for the Switch. Undoubtedly, it's probably also one of the first games you're going to see in CX. Because I think a lot of people will buy it, and then as soon as better titles come out, as we are now seeing now off this Nintendo Direct that was out the other day, I think people will slowly start to trade this game in. I think it'll become one of these, hey, you can buy 1-2 Switch for a tenner brand new.
Is it as good a launch title as Wii Sports?
No, 100% not. I'm not even the biggest fan of Wii Sports, but I can see the appeal of it. Mm.
It was quite limited, though, Wii Sports, the original was.
Yeah.
But then it was a free game.
Man, how much we played that game, though, between us getting it at Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
Was crazy. Still, all my family played that game.
Still the only game I've played like this with my grandparents as well.
Yeah, same.
And that surprised me a lot because it's just very accessible. We played the bowling, and every generation likes Wii Bowling.
Yeah.
Even the tennis.
Yeah, yeah. Me and my brother actually played a lot of the boxing. We had the two nunchucks at launch, so we played a lot of that as well.
I don't know. Not quite the revolution.
No.
But the revolution of the Switch is its portability.
Exactly.
And this, I guess, 1-2 Switch is meant to be the thing you can take to parties. That's how they advertised it, wasn't it? The fact this is portable, you can bring it round to a friend's house and say, oh, let's play a bit of 1-2 Switch.
Yeah.
And it is actually that accessible, you could just do that.
Do you think you would, though? Because we were around a friend's house or offered to last Saturday, and I was thinking, oh, I can bring 1-2 Switch.
Hmm.
I don't know if we would have had that much fun playing it compared to something like we would usually play, like Drawful or Jackbox. I think they're better experiences for that kind of thing.
Bomberman or Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Oh, yeah.
Which we just played.
Yeah. One last thing, though, I think is a bit of a thorn in the side of 1-2 Switch, is there's a lot of controller variations. Like, you have to take off the Joy-Con strap, you have to put on the Joy-Con strap.
Games.
One or two of them are just done with one controller. There's not a lot of consistency of how you play there, and I don't know if that's something you can sort out on, like, the playlists.
And so you only want this type of game where you don't have to
It takes a lot of time. Like, we played through all the games, and they're not very long. They take, like, 30, 40 seconds
to play.
We played
the Samurai one as well, we didn't mention.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have seen that.
That's pretty good.
Sword
game.
Above the head, bring it down, clap thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, going from the Samurai one to the Treasure Chest one was a bit fiddly. And then going back and having to put the Joy-Con straps back on.
I do like how it tells you how active the game is with its chili rating.
Yes, it does. But then again, we played the Sandwich one, which is a 4, and it's literally you just moving your mouth up and down. So I don't really know how accurate that is. Yeah, I'm not overwhelmed by it at all. I'm very much in the, hey, I will pick this up.
What would you give it out of 10?
3.
I think you might give it 5 or 4.
I'm not even that generous with it, yeah. Honestly. Like, still $32.95 on Amazon. If I would have got it for the £2, I would have been happy.
£2? Oh yeah, you nearly.
Yeah, I nearly got it from an Amazon misprice for £2. But even then, like, I don't know if I'd ever play it again. I don't know if it's something I would crack out. Yeah. Like, I would prefer to, as you say, crack out Puyo Puyo Tetris or Snipper Clippers even. Snipper Clippers is a great use of showing
it's
what that game can do.
It's good for a couple of people. It's yes. Not great for a party.
No, that's true.
Imagine.
But, you know, you never. Hopefully, Knapknock Games, our friends in Copenhagen, will release like a Bumpy's Party or something for it.
There's bound to be more party-type games released for the Switch.
I would see them coming in droves, but yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Because I think developers are just starting to warm up to it now. They've seen, actually, it's been reasonably successful, actually very successful on its initial launch.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to attract a lot of developers now, because in theory, there's nothing you can't do on Switch. You know, if you put your mind to it, just like the Wii, you can port games to the Switch. You have to spend a little bit more time doing it, I think. Yeah. But you can always create a version for a Nintendo's console. And I hope to see more of that in the future.
Yeah. Well, I mean, did you watch the Nintendo Direct that happened?
I did. I skipped through it. I watched parts. I got the general.
A lot of new 3DS games coming. We won't really talk about
those.
I think
they were very keen to say we haven't forgotten about the 3DS.
Yes. A lot of anger, actually, online from people going, why are these games coming out on the 3DS? I want them on my Switch. Well, it's for the same reason there were still Game Boy Advance games coming out. The same reason there's still Persona 5 is on the
PS3.
They've
been in development for a while.
They've been in development for that system for a very long time. And there are people who own a 3DS more than there are people who own a Switch.
I own
higher market share.
A 3DS. I didn't own a Switch.
I own 3 3DSs.
3DS was a very robust, very successful console for Nintendo. They would not just give up on it now.
No, of course not.
When there's always that huge user base still there, they've got to give it a bit more time, Switch a bit more time to gain its user base.
So. Yeah, and I think it's there. I mean, I was being rather salty about the idea that now BR, which is a toy chain here, which is similar to Toys R Us in the UK, that all of the supermarkets now have Switches, like a month or two after. Well, almost 2 months after the launch of the Switch, everywhere now has them because they've realized, oh shit, this is a very popular console. Same way they did with the PS4. Not a lot of places had the PS4 when it first came out. And I think developers will act in kind the same way they did for the PS4, where I don't think we'll see a lot of games for the first year.
Yeah.
Because, let's be honest, I bought that PS4. I bought Black Flag, which was out on another console. I bought Knack because there was nothing else. I bought Battlefield 4 for my PS3 and then upgraded it.
It's also shelf space, I imagine, because they're still having to share shelf space with PS3 and Xbox 360 and even Wii in some places. Wii U.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of different formats on the shelves right now.
Yes.
So I guess that's another reason why developers have been slow. Sorry, not developers. Stores have been a little bit slow stocking the newer systems.
Perhaps. They don't take up too much space, though. I'm actually quite
the Switch games.
Surprised at how little space they take up in retail.
Yeah.
The whole Switch section in Bilko, which is pretty much, for UK listeners, about the equivalent of a Tesco's Extra. For American listeners, perhaps like a Target or Walmart-sized store.
Yeah, that's
very
that's
large.
Right. You get everything, yeah.
And their Switch section is pretty much, it fits onto one shelf. They have the console, they have
a
Pro Controller. And admittedly, there aren't a lot of games, but they're stacking them sideways. But like the selection fitted on there pretty evenly.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm curious to see how it goes now.
I guess they don't have to save any space for the Vita anymore. So.
No, well, I mean, the Vita's been out of these places for a long, long time.
Actually, last time I was in GameStop, I think they had Vita games.
Yes.
That's the recent thing that they've... All the Vita games disappeared, isn't it?
Yeah, it's... Well, to be honest, it happened in the UK a while back. Mm. This time last year when I was like, should I go for a full set of Vita games? When I was thinking
silly.
Like an irrational person. Though, let's be honest.
There's quite a few now, aren't there?
There
online,
are.
They're still being released physically.
Well, limited run games kind of... I wouldn't say ruined my...
Oh, yeah. I mean, if those games count as an official
exactly.
part of the catalogue, then... The chances of getting a full collection are very slim.
And
but would you want a full collection?
No, I don't. And this is the thing. Like, I realise this a lot. Obviously, I'm still going for... I would still like a full library of Game Boy games. I would still like the European set of Game Boy Color and Advance.
Quite a while.
I would still like to finally complete my American Game Boy collection and maybe even start working on the original Japanese. However, I realise that there are more Japanese titles than there are European.
When you're spending money on games you can't play.
Exactly. Then it gets a bit ridiculous.
It's getting a bit silly, I think.
Yeah. When they're cheap, like when I go to flea markets, like I did last week, and I pick up 8 games for a tenner, then I'm happy.
Mm.
When I go to Japan and when they're going to be like 2-3 quid,
it's reasonably priced. Because I guess to a degree you collect them sort of like they're like playing cards, aren't they? You put them in your wallets and
I mean, I do play them, and then that's how I find
you do play them. Yeah, I know.
Games like Parasol Hembi, you know, for example, which is a Game Boy game that nobody really
knew
about.
But if a game's cheap enough,
yeah,
then you're happy just to have the cartridge.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I'm happy to play it and experience it and go, okay, this is a game that's completely inaccessible to a Western
audience. Pachinko game, for instance.
Yeah, they're okay. I mean, you know, it's not a bad experience. It's kind of like playing pinball.
Yeah.
Like, they're not bad. They're not terrible games. I don't really understand the rules of Pachinko, which is what's holding me back, but...
Mahjong games? I imagine there's a few of them.
There's a few Mahjong games. I've tried playing them as, like, there's even a few Mahjong games got released over here anyway, like... Shanghai on the Game Boy by HAL Laboratory. There's Shanghai Pocket, which is made by Sunsoft, which has loads of cute, colourful characters on the front, and then it's a Mahjong game. There's loads of things like that that kind of slip through.
Horse racing?
Horse racing games aren't bad.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much like a track and field, most of the ones I've played, where you're just spamming buttons to make your jockey go faster. They're not bad.
Baseball?
Baseball games also.
There's a lot of Japanese baseball games.
There are a ton of Japanese. Well, to be honest with you, there's surprisingly a lot more Japanese football games than there are baseball games.
Wow.
And
does football work on the original Game Boy?
Yeah, it's not bad.
I can't imagine it's very easy to play on the original model of the Game Boy.
Honestly, it's not bad.
Hmm.
Your sprites are pretty small. Like, you're not looking at...
I'm thinking the movement of the ball and being able to see the ball.
It's fine. Honestly, like, it plays better than you would expect. Okay. Games like FIFA aren't great because the sprite size is very small and the ball is big compared to the players, actually, if you think about it logistically.
It's gotta be, I suppose.
But then you can play things like Bandai's Football International where the sprite style is quite chunky and quite cute, and then it makes for a much better game. Anyway, side
tracks. Off on a tangent there.
Yes.
But you're still collecting Game Boy.
I am still collecting Game Boy, and no, I'm not going to get Vita. But... unfortunately, it seems to be a thing that it is disappearing from store shelves.
A Vita collection, you mean?
Yes.
Because we're both proud Vita owners.
Yeah.
I only the other day picked up Persona 4 Golden for $3.99. Now, long-time listeners will know I'm not an RPG fan, but after our conversation last week, I thought I owed it to myself to try it at that price, at least.
I think you should give it a go. To be honest with you, I'll talk about Persona 5 in length in a bit. I think it's better.
Yeah, I'm also thinking about playing an RPG portably might be more up my alley. Because, I only say that because I have such a good time with Pokemon portably, and maybe it's the kind of game that I could enjoy in that environment. So, I don't know. That's a push.
Okay, so Persona 4 can be played incredibly casually, but I don't think you're going to get the same sense of satisfaction of playing it on a bus for an hour than you would Pokemon.
No, I don't think you save often.
You can save pretty often in it. I don't think you're going to get the same sense of accomplishment, though.
No, probably not. But again, for the price.
The game is meant to be like soaked in. You're meant to bathe in Persona for a good long while.
Oh,
and get that
and
Persona
stink on
you. And
it's fine to experience that on the Vita.
Yeah. So I played Persona 4. I never picked it up on the PS2 because, I had a 360 then.
And you didn't have the PlayStation TV at that point?
I did not, no.
Because it also plays on that.
It does. Mm. Unfortunately for me, I could transfer my saves over via cloud saves. So when I've beaten this and when I've got through the Yakuza series, I'll probably go back and finish that game off.
Mm.
But I think the Vita is sadly a console that was perhaps a bit ahead of its time.
I think it was.
And in some respects, I think... it shouldn't have done the half step that it did. If it would have done what Nintendo have done now and just said, hey, you can plug this into your television, maybe it would be a different story.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Because originally those dev kits have HDMI out. So that was apparently an intended thing, and that's why the Vita TV is there and why you can get someone online to solder a HDMI out onto your Vita, because the capabilities are in the console.
Yeah.
But alas, that's what happened. Sad thing, but so it goes.
We touched on Persona then. You mentioned that you've been playing more of Persona 5.
Yes, I have. Yeah, let's get into the Nintendo stuff later. So I've spent roughly about 20 hours, I think, just over playing Persona 5. Beaten the second dungeon. My characters are around level 20. I've done a lot of the side quests. I'll leave it at that because I don't want to spoil what that necessarily entails. It's a very interesting game. The first dungeon is very hand-holdy. It is very, hey, here is how you do everything in this game. And then weirdly, it just kind of goes, once it's shown you all those things, it goes, right, off you go. And you're like, oh, okay, shit. And so the game opens up after that first dungeon in a way that's refreshing and feels like Persona 4 again. That being said, it takes about 7-8 hours to do that.
Ooh, it's quite a length.
I mean, it relies heavily on narrative. The game is essentially is telling you an interesting story, and the combat mechanics and stuff haven't really changed that much from Persona 4 in terms of base combat. Obviously, you now have the ability to tame personas, for lack of a better word. You can join these, you invite these shadows to become a part of your covenant and like to be a part of you, and you can breed them, and you can like do other things to get more powerful personas, and there's like a metagame in there of catching all of these personas, a la the Shin Megami Tensei series. That here works a lot better for me than it does in Shin Megami Tensei, because in Shin Megami Tensei 4 at least, that felt like that was the main focus of the game. And without a very intuitive knowledge of the kinds of demons I would need to breed with other demons to create more powerful personas, I felt that the progress was very slow because the game is very hard. Mm-hmm. I felt that you had to get that bit down and you had to constantly be sacrificing these demons to create better demons and doing these other things. It's more of a backseat in Persona 5. It's more of a nice-to-have thing, and you can do it because having different personas gives you different magic, which allows you to exploit weaknesses, and by doing so, get more money, get more items, and get more personas. Mm-hmm. So you, for example, if there's an enemy that is weak to lightning, you can use lightning on them, which is called Zio, and that enemy will be downed. You will hold them at gunpoint. Everyone will literally run at them and hold them up, and you can talk to them, and if you say the right answers based on the personality types, there's four types: irritable, gloomy, upbeat, and stern, or something like that, essentially like strongman one. And based on what they say and based on their personality type, it depends on the kind of answers you give them, and then it charms them into working with you. There's a lot of side characters. There's a lot of the ability to explore around Shibuya and get different allies to talk with you who maybe aren't in your squad, who building bonds and relationships with them increases your stats or does other things for you. There's a lot of depth to that game. However, not a lot more than I originally saw in Persona 4. And it has been a while since I've played that game, admittedly. I bought it with my Vita, which is probably about 120 episodes back into the series of this podcast.
Really? Oh my.
I don't know. I like Persona 5. I would not say it is in even the top 10 of the games I've played this year when compared to things like Yakuza or... Now, that's unfair to say. I think it perhaps is. I don't think it's top 5, though. I think I've played...
It just doesn't do enough new
things. No, and to be honest with you, like, I don't like the cast as much as I like the cast of Persona 4. And I... They're growing on me the more and more I play it. But it's all a bit cliche. And I like I talked about last week on the podcast, like the fact that you were a high school student who sent to live with someone else because you stopped a woman getting assaulted.
You quite like that premise.
Well, yeah, I mean it's a bit of a shitty premise. And it's kind of leads on to this world of like, oh, adults are bad, we are the future, we are children, we can do this. But at the same time, I don't know if I've had enough of that kind of story.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that the other characters I meet now going into this third dungeon are perhaps a bit more interesting and a bit more two-dimensional.
Three-dimensional.
honestly, like, I think these characters are very one-dimensional. So,
okay.
Like, happy
with
the middle ground.
Sorry. Yes. Yes. If I know what you mean. One-dimensional.
If they properly like manage to develop the characters properly and they feel whole the same way I would say Persona 4 characters do, I would be very happy.
Mm.
At the moment, I don't necessarily feel it, which is a shame. But that being said, game looks brilliantly. It plays very nicely. There aren't that many faults. I think I've just been spoiled by better JRPGs as of late. So that's what it is, unfortunately.
Okay.
Curious to see what you think of Persona 4, though. So give that a go. Let us know.
I'm afraid I haven't been playing the other RPG that I purchased the other week.
No, you didn't
Akage,
play it.
No?
It?
No, I haven't played it yet. But I've been playing Parappa the Rapper.
Kick, 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 punch, punch,
and
chop.
The actual gameplay is still as enjoyable as it ever was, I think.
Yeah.
I love the game itself. It's a shame that this re-release hasn't... I mean, the actual sections where you play, they've been remastered.
Yeah.
Visually, widescreen, looks very sharp, very nice. It's just the in-betweens. It's exactly like it was on the PS1.
Yeah.
No bad thing, but I kind of feel like if they'd taken the extra time to redo the FMV sequences rather than just, you know, they're not any better video quality than they were first time round. And it's slightly jarring to go in between the two looks, and it feels a little bit like an unfinished package.
Okay.
Because you kind of think, well, could they not have remade these sections? But I guess character models were never made for half the characters that are in the cutscenes. So I can understand why they didn't do it, and I guess they didn't have anything better to work with, so they had to...
Yeah, I guess
so. Because it's such a huge part of the game, those cutscenes in between the levels.
I gotta believe. Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So that's what you gotta do. You gotta believe. But it's still a fantastic game, and I hope it sells enough to maybe make a Parappa 3 in the future.
I want to pick it up, but I've heard it hasn't aged very well.
I think it's timeless.
You know what I'd really like?
What hasn't
like,
aged very well is those CD cuts.
I would really, really like a copy of Guitar Man to be released on the PS4. I'm hoping this does
that
well enough.
That was a great rhythm game.
I really
well.
Love that game, unfortunately.
You could say slightly more developed than Parappa.
I love Guitar Man. From what I played a bit, I really enjoyed it. Unfortunately, the European release does not have a difficulty. And also... It does not have a difficulty setting. You can either set it at normal or extremely hard.
There's
no easy setting like there is in the American release. Also, it doesn't play very well on a modern television. Even with my minimal input lag, it does not translate very well.
Got to play it on a CRT.
I should, but I haven't got one because this apartment's too small. Never mind.
You know, I also tried the other day.
What, Tom?
Mighty Number 9.
Ooh la la. You've even played it before me, and I backed it on Kickstarter.
I bought it for $3.99, PlayStation sale. I bought so much in a sale recently, I was able to get Parappa for free, which is great. I really like that from Sony, that they will say spend £50, get £10 credit, which is exactly the price Parappa is at the moment for PlayStation Plus owners.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually $9.59, I think. But I was pleasantly surprised by Mighty Number 9. Wasn't a game I was particularly interested in, not being a huge Mega Man fan.
No.
But I think this game is fine for people who aren't really into Mega Man.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't play like Mega Man particularly. Yes, you can only fire forwards. Just like, no, actually, can you fire upwards?
I assume so.
Oh, I can't remember now. But this dash mechanic the game introduces. So you shoot an enemy a couple of times and then they flash a certain colour and then you can dash into them to get an ability. I think the more you hit them, the greater chance you have of getting a different colour.
Yeah.
So if you hit them a few times, you get one colour and you can collect that. But if you want to get a better upgrade, I think you have to do them a few more times. That's how I understand it. I could be wrong. But that dash also is great for traversing levels in a nice, fast way because he's quite slow to run.
Yeah.
There's some storyline about robots going crazy and you have to... And the rest of the... Are there like 10 robots? Or are there just 9 robots?
I'm not sure how many there are in Mighty Number 9. I would assume 9 or 8. I would assume you're the 9th.
I think there's 10.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Anyway, they've all gone haywire and it's your job to get each one a little bit like the robot
guys, masters
in Mega Man. But so far, I've really been enjoying it. I could say that perhaps it could do a little bit of polishing in certain areas.
Yeah.
I love the design, actually. The design's really strong. But okay. It's the fact that the characters don't animate during cutscenes. They do just stand there.
Yeah.
And they don't blink. Their mouths don't move, I don't think.
Are these drawings kinda of them, or are they...
No, these are 3D models.
Okay, the actual models.
They kind of... Maybe they breathe. I don't know if they breathe. They stand there. Very static.
I mean, come on. Let's be honest. The Mario and Sonic Olympics did that as well the other day.
They did, yes. But you kind of feel it in the dialogue that they should be expressing themselves a little bit. And mm-hmm. It would give a lot more urgency and involvement to the player if the characters were there emoting what's happening in dialogue. Because some of it can be quite...
dramatic.
Dramatic, some of the dialogue in it. Yet isn't replicated in the visuals.
That's a shame.
If they'd have added that level, then this would be a far more kind of likable game, I think. Gameplay-wise, I think it's very good. Character design's very good, but the personality is lacking because they don't animate the characters.
That's a shame.
I think is what the problem I have with it. I say it's actually very good value for $3.99.
Yeah.
I'd say this is worth a little bit more than that. The level, the quality of the gameplay is, it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
And it reminded me of playing a game back on the Master System or something like that, or a Mega Drive. It was like, this is pure gaming experience. It's pretty straightforward, very classic. I think it gets a bit of a bad rap, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's actually not a bad game. It's a fairly solid, enjoyable game.
Okay.
That is...
Well, I mean, you know, expectations, I don't think were ever going to be met from that project.
I think that was the thing, wasn't it?
I think everyone had their own idea of what a new Mega Man game would
be. And it's not a Mega Man game.
No.
That's the thing. It has some similarities as Mega Man. You know, you've got the Doctor, Dr. White, his name is, and things like this do harken back to Mega Man. But gameplay-wise, it's not quite the same as that. And it's definitely not as difficult as Mega Man.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah. Okay.
It gets a thumbs up. $3.99 is a great price for it.
Yeah.
That's British pounds, by the way.
Yeah, I can't remember how much it is in krona. It's like 37, I think.
Mm-hmm. Why not? Why not give it a go? Why not give it a go, Matthew? You do have it.
I will. I own it.
See what you think of it. I'd be interested to hear that.
Yeah, maybe I'll give it a play before next
week. You're
a
Mega Man fan.
I am, yes. But I guess we should talk about some Puyo Puyo Tetras.
Oh, yes. We briefly touched on that earlier.
We did, yeah. It was part of the Nintendo Direct announcement, which we'll get onto, I guess, after this, that they were releasing a free demo of Puyo Puyo Tetras. I said to you, oh, there's a demo of Puyo Puyo Tetras as we started up onto Switch. And you were like, yeah, but if you know games, you know what Puyo Puyo and Tetras are. And little did we know, Tom Parry, that playing them together is actually perhaps a bit more chaotic and requires a little bit more concentration than you think.
And I don't think that's been done before. I guess that's what they thought when they thought, we'd like to make another puzzle game.
Yes.
We'd like to make a Tetris game. We'd like to make a Puyo Puyo game. And some bright spark probably came from the idea of, why don't we make them both in the same game and have the player switch midway through?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good. So thank you to whoever came up with that, because it works quite well.
It does. I enjoyed it. I will probably be picking it up now. I was.
It's bright. It's fun.
Thinking I would, anyways, but
to me, it gave me that same experience it did from playing Mega Man on the Switch. Not Mega Man.
Mighty Number 9.
Bomberman. Actually, I was going. Okay. I meant to say Bomberman. It's that classic game, that classic arcade thing. Very simple to pick up and play. Seems like the Switch is embracing those sort of games, and I like that a lot about it.
Yeah. Maybe a bit of like Battle Tetris in there as well. Mm. That was kind of nice. And then, so you'll be playing a little bit of Tetris for those of you who haven't had a chance to try it yet. And then it will give you a 3-2-1 timer, in which case you have to pretty much line up your Tetris piece.
Finish
where you
your move,
drop it.
Yeah.
And then it will switch to Puyo Puyo.
And that's a totally different game.
Yeah, you will
that
actually play.
Well, you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Play the other game. Yeah.
I believe there's also a fusion mode. In which case,
the
boards switch back and forth. So regarding what you've put in Puyo Puyo, will then make the pieces in Tetris.
Oh wow!
Based on the colours.
Sounds like it's got a lot going for it.
It does, yeah. I mean, it got rave reviews when it came out in Japan. There will not be a physical release of it for the PlayStation 4, I believe. Whereas there will...
Oh, it's available on...
Yeah, it will be available on the PS4, yeah. It's been on the PS4, Tom Parry.
Oh, my.
For almost 2 years now. However, because Ubisoft owns the licensing rights to Tetris in the West, they've not been able to release it. I was going to import this game for a very long time from Japan.
Only on PS4 and Switch?
Yeah, you can also buy it on the Xbox One in Japan. Okay. If you buy the Asian version from PlayAsia, you'll be able to buy an Xbox One version with English.
Can you download it on Xbox One?
I do not think you can, but it'll be out on the PS4 digitally, at least localized properly in English.
At the same time as the Switch one?
The same time as the Switch one, I do believe. So the 27th of April
this
very month.
I'm very happy about that, because I thought that was a game I wasn't going to get to play.
No. It's already been out for like 2 years. It's just they finally, I guess Nintendo, convinced someone, hey, we want this on the Switch. Let's release this in the West, because people are going to import it anyways.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and so they managed to bring over the PlayStation version, but I'm pretty sure they said that there will not be a physical release of the PS4 version.
It doesn't bother me.
I think Nintendo is publishing the Switch version themselves. That's why there can be a physical one, because I still believe they have some rights over Tetris.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
But thankfully, it's not one of those games that can take up an awful lot of hard drive space, I would hope.
No.
Not like, Parappa takes up about a gig and a bit. I imagine this would be similar.
One would assume, right? But who knows? Yeah.
That's great.
It is. So shall we talk about the Nintendo Direct?
Yeah. And then I'll just talk briefly about a few games I've been playing recently. Yeah. But let's touch on the Direct.
So a few things announced. Like I said, there's 3DS stuff. I won't bother. Pikmin was in there. Fire Emblem was in there. A few other little bits and bobs that look quite nice.
There was a Monster Hunter...
Freedom, which looks pretty good.
I was talking about Monster Hunter, the cute one.
Monster Hunter Freedom.
Is it called Freedom?
Yeah, the one where you've got the like dragons that
you ride a dragon. Yeah. Is that what it's called? Yeah, Freedom. Yeah. I thought it was called something else.
I'm pretty sure it is. I'll find out. It'll be in this
Freedom
list.
Sounds like another Monster Hunter game.
Anyways, doesn't matter.
That looked cool.
Yeah, that looked all right. Fire Emblem looked more like Fire Emblem than it did the last time, and so I'm like, okay, maybe I won't buy that one at launch. Because I was thinking it would be a third-person action dungeon roaming slash combat thing, but it doesn't look that way.
I did think, just to go back to that Monster Hunter game, that it looked really good.
Yeah.
Graphically.
Yeah. It did really well in Japan. Yeah. It's essentially Pokemon meets Monster Hunter. Which, you know, is
very
a recipe
colourful,
for success.
Very fun.
So, they talked about a few things for Switch. Disc Gear 5 finally has a release date for the 23rd of May, which is actually one of the days I'll be in Japan. So I was thinking, well, I would have got that, but I'll probably buy Iron Set sooner when I'm there, because it'll be physical and I can.
Not my sort of game, but yeah, it has a huge fan base.
It's a weird series, because I have that game on multiple platforms. I have I have Disc Gear 1 and 2 on the PS2. I then have Disc Gear 3 on the PlayStation 3. Then I have Disc Gear 4 on the Vita. And then 5 is also on the Vita, I believe, but it's now also on the Switch.
Yeah, so one for each. So it seems sort of like when Dead Alive games, it was only like the one per system.
Yes. It's weird. Anyways. So you have that. Payday 2 is actually coming out on the Switch.
The whole announcement was Peggy 18, wasn't it? The very beginning. So imagine all those kids get really excited about the Nintendo Direct and they've got Peggy 18 and nearly all the games are kid-friendly.
Yeah.
It was only because of Payday and something else, I think.
Probably the Fates game.
Yeah. But Payday definitely...
Yeah, but it was such a weird cut of that trailer because it didn't actually show anyone shooting each other. It just showed people shooting guns. Did you notice? It was a weirdly edited trailer.
Yeah.
But that'll be coming out. It'll be supported. It'll have the John Wick DLC and the Hotline Miami stuff.
I didn't know there was.
Yeah, there's a John Wick like Payday level.
Okay. Is Payday a good game?
Seems that way. Seems very popular.
Because it's been around a while now.
I mean, it's free to play. So I'll probably give it a go when it comes out on Switch if it's the same there.
Free to play?
Yeah, it's a free to play game. Yeah. It got made that way, at least on Steam a while back.
Okay.
I think the console versions were perhaps, you know, free to pay, i.e. you buy the game once, then you get a load of shit that you would buy. It's mainly microtransactions of you buying outfits and all this other stuff.
I noticed it was developed by Starbreeze Studios, who did Riddick.
Mm-hmm. That's what they've been working on for a very long time now. seems to be a cash machine in the same way that GTA Online is. Mm. Sonic Forces
for them.
Will be coming out in holiday 2017.
Yep. Looks show like... some gameplay of the 2D Sonic levels.
Yeah.
Which look very similar to Sonic Generations. If it's more of the same, then I'm happy with that, because I thought Generations was a pretty fun game.
Quite enjoyed that game.
I finished that game.
You did, yeah.
Gosh, I do finish games. I forget sometimes.
Occasionally, yeah.
It's a Sonic or Mario. Yes. That's true. Usually. I finished 3D World as well, but yeah, it's not a particularly difficult game, I suppose.
No, that's true. Hey, you finished it. You beat it.
Did, good game.
Fate Extella is coming out on the 25th of July.
It's like a Dynasty Warriors type thing, but ramped up to the max.
Yes. I've heard
faster
that
pace.
Is a very PS2 feeling game, but yeah, in a good way.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
I saw it actually today on the PS4, yeah, but I'll probably wait for the Switch version. Maybe I'll see if I can pick that up at a reasonable price.
I mean, I think it looks good, but not good enough for me to rush out and buy that one.
Maybe not. I mean, if I see it cheap, I'd pick it up, yeah, I think.
There's so many games in so little time, Matthew.
Exactly, Tom.
You've really got to be very selective.
Yeah. Puyo Puyo Tetris, we already mentioned, is coming out.
Great game.
April 27th. And then, unsurprisingly perhaps, Ubisoft was just like, oh shit, games! Buy them!
Oh, I've heard about this a while ago. We're talking about Rayman.
Yeah, but they're also releasing Monopoly.
Oh, yes. But then that's great. I think that really is a great fit for the Switch, Monopoly. Yeah. And I've played the PS3 Monopoly game,
yeah,
which is great fun. Works really well in the digital version of Monopoly.
Yeah, looks good. Sonic Mania was announced with Sonic Freedom.
Now that, I think the Switch is a console to get that on.
I know you want to get it for the Switch.
But I won't, because I won't have a Switch when that comes out, so I'll get it for PS4, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'd love a physical release of that.
Yeah.
It's not been mentioned on any format.
No, but probably will be on Switch. Another game that's actually been announced for Switch that I'm hoping will get a physical release, because they announced it in part of this, Cinemora EX.
Yes,
a re-release of the Grasshopper side-scrolling shooter that I quite liked, that was on the...
Yeah, I also played that.
It's on the PS3, right?
It was on the Xbox 360 as well.
Yeah. And you had it and I quite liked it back then.
Yeah, it's quite a fun game.
So they're doing some stuff to it and re-releasing it for the Switch.
Now you can play it portably.
EX version with new modes, challenge levels and more that will be announced later.
I think
later
all these
in
games... A portable, it's great.
Yeah, if that is actually one of the... Because Limited Run have apparently been in talks with Nintendo about doing Limited Run Switch games. Mm. If they do Cinemora as a Limited Run, I would probably have to buy that. Because as my rule at the moment is, I don't buy Limited Run stuff because it's too expensive. Mm. And like, there's so many of them being released now, it seems like every day there's an email in my inbox going, hey, these three games are released on the weekend. And like, as much as I like Stranger's Wrath, I wasn't going to wait up till 3 o'clock in the morning to buy that game, and it sold out instantly.
I kind of feel like if it's a game that's been released previously and I've got the original version of it physically,
yeah,
then I don't feel the desire to have another physical version of the same game. You know, I'm quite happy with a downloaded version of it in that case.
Yes. And that's the way I feel about Rayman Legends Definitive Edition.
Yeah, I
own that game on two consoles. I think I've got the 360 version and I've got the one on the Wii U. I almost bought the PS4 version in a sale around Christmas time because it was £4. And I was like, oh, we could play that together. And I was like, no, we could play that on the Wii U. I don't need it on the PS4.
I have it on the Wii U. I also have it on the Vita as a digital copy.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's how it goes. Battle Chasers Night War is a THQ Nordic game based on the Battle Chasers comics. There was originally a Kickstarter project. Friend Wes is a big, big fan of that. By Joe Madriena, I think I'm mullering that name. But it's a pretty popular comic and never finished. It was published by Dark Horse, and so this is going to be the end of that series, I think, in a video game. But it looks pretty nice. I will probably pick it up, even though I'm not really that big a fan of the comics. Namco Museum was a pretty interesting thing that's coming out to Switch in the summer. It's a collection of classic Namco games.
Which was the surprise of this announcement, was there including Splathouse?
For me, it was Tower of Duraga. I was like, fuck yeah, I'll play an English version of Tower of Duraga. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Yeah,
I don't think they've localized it.
They recognize several games, usually in their arcade collections, Pac-Man or...
Dig Dug and Gallagher. Always going to be there.
No, that's not. Not Xevious. That's also...
Rolling Thunder, yeah. Is Rolling in there. Thunder. Oh. Which I believe is the Pong console port of Xevious.
No, they're different games.
Yeah. Xevious is the Galaga sequel, right?
It's the one where you can drop bombs on, you know, it's top down shooter. Oh, you can drop bombs. And you can. It's a pretty good game. That's usually included on these Namco collections.
But yeah, to be honest with you, I'm just going to buy it for Tower of Duraga. I've always wanted to play that game in English.
Fair enough.
It probably was available somewhere else. Maybe it was available in like a Namco museum.
There's been a lot of Namco museum collections over the years from the PS1 onwards.
I have it for the Game Boy. It was my first exposure to that game, and I really liked playing it on the Game Boy. It's actually quite English friendly. Again, a game I would not know about if I hadn't bought the Japanese Game Boy game. Mm. It's a roguelike. Roguelikes are in. I see why they would include that on that collection.
Yeah. And Splathouse.
Splathouse.
But yeah, there's Green Blood.
Yes, maybe.
I saw.
Yeah, well, of course, Nintendo console, right? It's like if they ever released Mortal Kombat for it, they would probably have to have Green Plug. Oh, God damn it, Nintendo. ARMS got a release date.
Oh, ARMS, they talked in length.
They did.
Length.
I heard someone make the if ARMS has legs joke on a podcast the other day, and I was like, I said that months ago.
I mean, I didn't actually watch much of the ARMS video. Well, on one side, I didn't want to get too excited about it because I know it's not a game I'm going to be able to play for some time.
Yeah.
But, I had a look at Splatoon as well, which I guess you're going to talk about.
Yeah. June 16th for ARMS. I'm very much looking forward to that. And then Splatoon's out the 25th of July, I think it is, a month later. Mm. So it's not going to give me a lot of time to play that. But, I mean, 21st, sorry. I'm quite surprised how close they are together. That, to me, suggests that August and September will perhaps also have some bigger releases.
Mm. You've got Mario Kart, of course, before this.
Mario Kart's coming out in April. Then you've got nothing really of note in May at the moment, I don't think. Actually, I have a handy-dandy booklet that I picked up at GameStop.
Ukulele must be coming out for Switch soon, mustn't it? No, at some point. They've not mentioned when that's coming out.
They have not. Well, I guess they switched over from developing for the Wii U. Let me just pull out this handy-dandy booklet that I picked up in GameStop.
I did not see that.
There was an entire shelf
of
these, Tom Parry. So
it's a Nintendo Switch
lots of pictures
high quality
of
book.
Danish people playing Switch games, presumably.
Not necessarily.
I don't know. He looks pretty Danish. Then I will.
That
flick.
Smells nice. That book,
it does.
By
yeah,
way.
It's got very good printing.
I can smell it from over here.
Yeah. Right. So once you switch ARMS, does not have
ARMS and
release
its neon yellow
Splatoon
controllers.
2, Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart Deluxe, Snipperclips. Okay, those are the only games in here. I don't know if there's anything out in May. I'm trying to rack my brains to see if I can remember anything, but nah, I don't think so. So May will be a quiet month. Then you have ARMS, then you have Splatoon, and then who knows what in the coming months after that.
Mario.
Hopefully, the Saikendetsu collection, i.e. the Secret of Mana collection, I probably will pick it up in Japan.
Oh, but that'll be in Japanese.
I have played the first two games enough that I know the plot, and I'm very curious to play Secret of Mana on a Switch with two, potentially three friends. Hmm. I would be willing to take the gambit and have to explain what's going on, because the story's not very deep anyway, it doesn't really matter. Saikendetsu 3, however, will be the challenge in that collection, because it has never officially been released in English, and is a very text-heavy game.
That'd
there are translations
to get the English
out
one,
there.
Though, won't it?
I have played it in Japanese, because... Oh. That's what I used to do with games like that, and then it got fan translated so I could actually play it properly. Very, very good game. I'm hoping in a similar... I saw some blog post the other day from someone who I follow on Twitter, and they were just like, HD collections, no thank you. And I was like, why though? Their argument was like, well, they're not as good as the originals.
Well, why?
And... because, you know, it was this thing, Silent Hill collection on there as an example of like, oh, they didn't do the port properly. Like, I
doesn't
don't
mean
want
it can't
it.
Be done properly.
I'm just like, yeah, but I don't care. Like, if I have access to, I have all of these games. I literally have a copy of Saikendetsu 3 on Japanese. I have a copy of Secret of Mana on the Super Nintendo. I have a copy of Final Fantasy Adventure or Mystic Quest.
There is a convenience to having it on a console that's hooked up, connected to your television, and that you can really appreciate on the television you're using right now, which is probably a more modern television.
And a way to expose it to other people. I really don't give a shit if my copy of Mystic Quest goes down in price.
Plenty of kids.
It's a good game.
Plenty of kids have never played the older games.
No, exactly.
You got to remember, it's not just us who have been playing these games forever who are going to be playing this thing.
Exactly.
You know?
And that
kids would never maybe have heard of some of these games.
I looked at it and I was just like, well, I understand from you, like, maybe their thinking is, okay, they're putting time and effort into, for example, re-releasing Rayman on this console. Maybe that means that could be time and effort spent making a Rayman game, but it's not that simple, you know? Like, you porting over a game, yeah, it'll take some work to do, because you've got to get an emulator or something running in there maybe to run the ROM, or you've got to completely reprogram it the same way they did for the Mega Man collection. Like,
I guess a lot of this is that the people buying Switch now, not all of them will have had a Wii U. So all those Wii U games they missed out on.
No.
You know, it's a shame to let them just languish and not get played. So I see the merit in releasing stuff on Switch that was on Wii U. It's kind of frustrating because, you know, those who were enjoying the Wii U don't necessarily need to play them again. We'd rather want something new. But
no.
There's plenty of people who didn't have a Wii U.
Hey, man, gap fillers. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If not for that, like, I couldn't figure out games coming out in May for the Switch. I mean, there's not really that much out in April either. I mean, you had Lego City Undercover, you had...
I should be thankful there is anything at all.
Heroes, you have, like, Mario Kart later in the month. There's not really a lot of stuff coming out for it, so I can understand why they're trying to plug gaps.
And I want to know what they're doing with the Virtual Console.
I don't think it's coming back. I think the thing that's on there now is what it is.
I think it's a real shame that the games you bought for Wii U are not transferable.
Perhaps they will be.
I'd love to see that in the future. I've heard that. I think it's been brought up.
It has, yeah.
And when the future, we'll release more details about Virtual Console.
I'm curious because, I mean, they've at least emulated these games on other systems. Maybe they can do it now on this.
Why not?
At the same time,
I think the Switch seems very similar to the Wii U in a lot of respects.
Yeah, I think so. In the hardware angle, I don't think it is, but I can't speak to that, and neither of us are video game programmers.
No, we don't know. But if you look at some of the games that are on Wii U and look at the similar games on the Switch, you know, graphically at least, it doesn't seem to be a major difference.
Well, I mean, you know,
but
in terms
Zelda's
of...
the obvious one. Zelda's was designed for the Wii U. So.
Yeah, but in terms of asset generation, I don't think you're going to see that problem. I think it's more to do with the coding and how the game is structured. And I think that seems to be a lot easier for developers to do on the Switch than it did on the Wii U. So let's see. Let's see what the future holds.
See.
There's also a Spelunker game out in Japan on
the
Switch.
Not Spelunky.
No, Spelunker. God, man, I want Spelunky on the Switch. Oh, just give me Spelunky and Fez and Earthbound and I'll be happy. I won't need anything else.
Man, Maybe you'll get Mother 3.
I will play Fez for a third or fourth time. I will happily play Fez again.
And if they sort out something, you had a bit of a problem with it, didn't you, at one point?
Yeah, I did, but that was an initial bug in the 360. I didn't get it when I played through it on the PS4/Vita.
No, I've been really enjoying.
What, Tom?
Tomb Raider again.
Regular Tomb Raider, as in, like, the Tomb Raider, as in...
I mean,
the
not
game
the last
featured
Tomb
on
Raider.
The very first Tom Attack.
That one, I've been playing that again.
Fucking hell, Tom.
Because the reason I hadn't played it for so long is because there wasn't no space on my PS3 and I bought it as a downloadable title. It was the game I only play when I was in the UK.
Yes.
On my parents'
PS3. Very, very
PS3.
Long-term listeners of this podcast will know.
So when I saw it on the Xbox One, the definitive edition for £6, I thought, I really like that game. I'll pick it up. And I just want to just reiterate how good that game is. And playing it again reminded me how good it was. It's a game that's very hard to put down. It's a game that's very accessible. I think these are some of the strengths of the game.
Yeah.
It's very easy to get into. It's very hard to put down. It's very well made. Visually, it's interesting playing this definitive edition because I think the visuals do look a little better.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I thought they looked amazing on the PS3. But it's just reminded me how good it is and how, you know, all those aspects of the gameplay, the collecting the scrap as well, you know, looking and trying to find where all the scrap is and upgrading Lara. And the story itself is also quite engaging and interesting.
Yeah.
Really loving playing that game again.
You realise you've been playing this game since April 14th, 2013.
And yes.
It has actually been a fucking year to the day that you've been playing this for 4 years.
Such a good game. Never finished it. I got up to a certain point on the PS3 and then stopped. So right now on the Xbox One, I haven't got up to that point yet.
Okay.
Again. So I haven't seen anything new yet, but I'm enjoying playing it now just as much as I was then.
Yeah.
Which says something.
Well, it's a good game, no doubt.
It's a great game. I think this is one of the greatest games I've ever played.
But I just want to reiterate, you've been playing this game for 4 years, technically speaking.
I've had this game available to me for 4 years to play.
I'm going to go over to How Long to Beat Tom and tell you this. Apparently, to mainline this story, it takes 11 hours.
Great. Well,
how
I'm
has
gonna,
it taken you 4 years?
I told you, it was only on the PS3 in the UK. It's never been on my
PS3. How did you never PS3 finish here? It, though?
Because I don't go back to the UK a lot, and I don't have a lot of time to play on PS3 because it's in the front room, parents' room.
Oh, okay.
You see, I didn't get a lot of opportunity. My dad's always watching something on TV. There you go. That's the reason, perhaps.
It's taken you 4 years to beat an 11-hour game, Tom.
Well, I'll let you know when I beat it.
Please,
I will do
please
now.
Beat it. Please close this chapter in your life.
I'd say so far, for me, the overall experience is akin to that of Resident Evil 4 and how much I like it.
It's a good game, Tom.
Third-person action.
I can't believe you haven't beaten it.
I haven't beaten Mario Brothers 3 either, but I'm still playing that.
You've never beaten Mario Brothers 3? As in, like, regular-ass NES Mario Brothers 3?
Yeah.
But at least you'll finish this one, because it's a Mario game. We've already stated these rules.
Well, you know, I got stuck for a while because there's that bit with the tornado. You have to put the shell in the tornado.
Yeah.
You know, the level with the evil sun.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't realise what to do there for the longest time. And then I got up to a castle where it was you had to go through a certain door.
Yes.
And I hate that.
Yes.
In Mario games, I hate that when, you know, if you don't go the right door, it just repeats the same thing. You know, and at that point, I was thinking, you know what, Mario 3? Not sure. I think you might be a little bit overrated here. Don't worry. It's not.
Context.
Because what's this amazing Mario 3? I can't believe I'm talking about Mario 3. Is its difficulty level is very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult game to just play without thinking. It's a demanding platform game where you've really got to stay on it. Because I was trying to play it or talking to our friend Maddie on the bus.
Yeah.
And that is not possible, Mario 3, because it is a challenging game. But in all the right ways. Apart from those annoying little sections.
Oh boy, if you think that's challenging, you should try Lost Levels. Fuck that game.
No, I've played it a lot. But Mario 3, I'm liking it again. I find it's my go-to game on 3DS at the moment. When I'm not playing Pokemon, I'm playing Mario 3.
If I thought for a second you would commit to it and not fall off before you got out of the NES games, I would challenge you to compete with me in the Super Mario Super Challenge, where we played through all the Mario games.
I like Mario games.
To see who got to the end fastest.
Never finished Mario World either.
No, I did once upon a time when I was young.
Now that's a slightly challenging game.
That is a very challenging game in parts.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Is that enough from you? You got it all off your chest?
Quickly, Wonderful 101 was a little bit confusing. I played that for the first time recently.
Yeah.
I love the concept, love the humour and the music and characters. I find it hard to create the formations on the gamepad.
I do too.
Yeah, I was trying to draw a circle to create the fist.
Yeah.
I found that immensely frustrating.
Me too. That's why I stopped playing it.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's got a lot going for it.
It does. A lot of Platinum Flare is one of the few games that I would actually say, hey, I'd rather watch this game than play.
Yeah. It's going to be a bit infuriating. Paper Mario Color Splash is solid, but slightly underwhelming, in my opinion. It doesn't make the greatest first impression. It feels like, you know, it's got some new twists. You've got a card-based system with collecting color and things. Nice ideas. But to me, it doesn't feel so far removed from the other one I've played the most of, which is Thousand Year Door.
Yeah.
Where it feels very much the same.
Well, they've just diluted that game, I think.
Sort of thing.
I don't think it's really changed that much from Thousand Year Door.
But the dialogue's still good.
Yeah.
It's funny. But it's kind of a bit pedestrian. It's just like, oh,
I saw a screen grab of a shy guy who'd thrown Mario in jail. And it was just literally like Mario's in jail, and he's like, "Ha ha, we're gonna throw you in jail, and that's all we can do in this to you in this age rating." So, ha ha, and walk off.
I think it's probably worth playing for the comic dialogue.
Yes.
Also, I'd like to say that the game I bought a couple of weeks ago, NHL 15, for 19 kroner,
worth it.
It's worth it because it's very easy to pick and play. I played it on the arcade setting.
Yeah.
And this was probably the most fun I'd have with a hockey game ever.
Good times.
Really good hockey game.
NHL games, man, have been good for a couple of
years
They've
been good for a while.
They've been consistently good even where FIFA slacked. NHL's been good.
Yeah, looks great as well. This is 15, I mean.
Saying that, though, 13, I believe, was the first one they released on this next-gen of consoles. Very stripped back in terms of its functionality. They clearly didn't put the effort in that they did with FIFA. Still played well, but it just lost a lot of the modes.
Plays well, and I was playing against a computer, which says something.
Do you understand what icing is?
Icing?
Yeah, in hockey.
It was on a cake.
On that note.
I don't know enough about hockey.
Well, on that note, Tom Parry, let's call it a day. I set it up, you knocked it down, though. That's what I was hoping
What
for.
Is it?
Icing is when you hit a hockey puck and it goes right to the back of the thing and you were the first one to get it. Oh, so essentially, it's to stop you just welting the puck down the course until you, the player, goes. So it's kind of like offside in football.
Right.
Yeah.
I did knock the goalkeeper's Gatorade over and got an achievement for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it actually Gatorade? Did it slow
it
down?
It said
in
Gatorade.
Slow
it said in the achievement. Man. You knocked over the goalie's Gatorade.
Oh, fuck me. Okay.
You... and I saw it fly.
No, we could have ended on such a promising note. And now I hate that game. Oh, man. Anyways.
I want some Gatorade now.
Yeah, let's go get some electrolytes. If you would like some electrolytes in the form of visual or audio podcasts, you can do so in a variety of places. You can go to blastprocess.com. You can go to tomandmattattack.com. You can go to iTunes. And perhaps new this week, you can go to YouTube and watch certain select bits of this podcast cut.
Well, I haven't thought about cutting it. I was going to put it on as a whole.
Okay, interesting. But you can do so on YouTube, Blast Process's YouTube channel.
It's easier if you frequent YouTube.
Exactly.
To have the podcast up there. Do you like that idea? Let us know. Just contemplating at the moment.
Yeah,
about
put it
putting
in the comments.
Putting it up in another place so you can get it if that's your preferred method of listening to
it. You can get
it
if you really want, someone said in a song.
Yeah. Why not?
Exactly.
You can look at a picture where you listen to it
if you wish. Give it a like. Drop us a comment. All of these things.
Yeah,
you can
might be
do
a great way of getting
YouTube.
Some more comments.
Exactly. Who knows? You can do that. You can also leave us a cheeky rate and subscribe while you're in iTunes because it is vastly appreciated, is how this podcast gets around. On top of that, you can watch me and Tom play really bad games on the old
Best
Worst Process.
Best Worst Game.
With Best Worst Games. I can't see it. And that is generally an enjoyable experience, some would say. I can't believe over 1,000 people watched our fucking Project Minerva video.
Thank you.
Thanks
for just taking time to look at that. I hope you enjoyed it and didn't just switch off after the first couple of minutes.
It kind of, deep down inside me, kind of makes me a bit sad that I spend like 20, 30 hours perhaps on a Game Boy video and they've only got 300 views.
Well, you underestimate the power of Project Minerva.
Well, exactly. It's such a quality game. I can't understand why people would not want to watch it. Go be like those 1,000 people, I guess. Go watch that video. Let us know what you think. And you can find us on social media at facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack and on Twitter at TMAcast. Until next week, though.
Ooh, thank
let's get
you
out of here, Tom, because this podcast is almost an hour and a half long. It's
I
run a bit over.
I knew it was a long one.
It was. Okay, cool. Until next week, folks. Game on.
Game on.